Outside, and so hopefully it's a nice day. If it's pouring rain or something, we'll see. We might punt and meet in the fellowship hall or something if it's pouring rain. But if it's not pouring rain, if it's even like just a drizzle, I'm going to try to push us outside and we'll process in. Of course, if mobility is an issue, you're welcome to sit in here and we'll have the mic so you'll be able to hear everything. But if you're able to come up the steps with us, come up the steps with us next week. We've got a sort of altered council schedule from what is normal. Council will meet tomorrow night, but it's not our business meeting. We're going to look at other business. We're going to look at our survey results. The Synod staff person is bringing those to us tomorrow night. So that means council, we need to meet for our April business meeting next Sunday afternoon at 3:30. And hopefully we will be efficient and hopefully brief with that meeting if we're able to be next Sunday afternoon. I know today we've got a couple of things happening. Right after worship, we're going to have an altar guild training. So that's for the folks setting up our communion setup and making sure our paraments are the way they need to be in those things. This is going to be, if you are used to doing it, great, come on if you can, because we'll talk about a couple of differences and we'll try to ask some questions together and learn from each other. And if you're new and you're interested, or you might be interested and you don't even know what we're talking about, join us and you can see a little bit about what it's about. It's a great ministry of helping to set the table for us and preparing Christ's table. And then at 4 o'clock today, handbells are going to practice for the Easter coming stuff. So if you are a handbell person, or if you might be a handbell person in the future and you don't know and you want to see what it's about, love to have you come play handbells, and they'll even give you a color-coded thing that only has your notes highlighted so you can know when you're playing. Did I get everything I was supposed to get, Latifah? If you'd like to order an Easter lily to have up here on Easter morning and then take home with you, today's the last day to order those, and order forms are in the back. And you can grab those and get them to the office.
Just a reminder that the lily will be visiting
shut-ins next Sunday afternoon. The silly youth are going to go visit shut-ins. What time?
We're going to meet here at 1:30
meeting here. Okay, thank you. Other announcements we should be aware of? Dean? Brief property meeting. All right. Right after. Where do you want to do that, Dean? Do you mind doing it in the fellowship hall so we can get started with our altar guild stuff? Property in the fellowship hall. How you like that? That's, you and my wife can talk about that. I'll ask you what you want to do, and then I'll tell you what we're going to do, right? Ooh. That'll get me in trouble. She's not here today, so I got away with saying that, too. Woo, okay, here, where are we this morning? Oh, okay, so the last thing I will say is Synod Assembly is coming up. Synod Assembly is coming up at the end of May, the last day of May and the first day of June. It's a Friday, Saturday. It's in Greensboro, and we need voting members to go on our behalf. Ideally, it would be one man and one woman. They don't necessarily have to be related, especially since it's Greensboro. It's not like we're going to, I don't think, need hotel rooms for anybody. So, would you please prayerfully consider if that might be something you would be willing to do? I think they're interesting. Maybe I'm a church nerd, and so that's just me. But I think they're interesting to see what else is going on in the life of our larger church that we're a part of, and to help make some decisions for that group. If I don't find somebody in the next couple weeks, I'm going to have to start coming after you aggressively. If you want to just avoid those phone calls altogether, if we have some volunteers in the next couple weeks, that would be great. I know we got a couple of prayer shawls this morning, or at least one.
This prayer shawl is for Weston Lord Tompum. It's Carol Varner's great-grandson that is not born yet, but very soon. So if you'll bless this, and I have a thank you note. God's blessings for your kindness. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalms 37, verse 23. The Lord has filled your heart with the gift of love for others. May he bless you for your special kindness. Thank you. Thank you for all the cards, phone calls, visits, and prayers, y'all. Your thoughtfulness was appreciated. Judy McLean.
We wish happy birthday this week to Corbin and Lori, and today to Sarah Grace. And we wish happy anniversary to Jim and Amy Horn and William and Mary Ellen Henson. Are there other folks we should add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand and begin on page 94 in the front of your book. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will come this way for the children's message.
Calvin, you might want to sit up here because we're going to do something special today. You're going to need to be on the stage. Okay, guys. So first of all, I want to ask you if you have a prized possession, one thing that you cannot live without. For me, if I had to name one thing, it's my grandmother's ring, because she's in heaven now, and this has her diamonds that my grandfather gave to her, and I made it into a ring, but it was her wedding ring, so that's like my most special possession. And for Isabel, you can see this has been very loved. She goes nowhere without her Mickey Mouse. So what's your prized possessions? Anybody want to tell me?
What's your favorite thing at your house?
Mickey Mouse.
Your Mickey Mouse, Calvin?
My worry dolls.
Your worry dolls? Very good. Do you have a favorite toy or a favorite thing you can't live without?
Yeah.
Yep. Gracie, what about you? You have a favorite thing that, if you just had to name one great thing, what would it be? But something you would want to take with you somewhere. Like if you had to leave your house and never go back, what would you take with you?
A stuffed animal.
A stuffed animal? Mm. Gavin?
A stuffed animal.
Okay. Marcus? Daddy, what about Marcus?
Marcus has some blankets that some people here made him that he can't do without.
Okay, so it might be a stuffed animal, it might be a blanket, it might be a ring, but something that's precious to you. Well, Jesus went and had supper at a guy's house named Lazarus, and his family, Martha and Mary, were there. And when he went to have supper, Mary loved Jesus, thought so much of Jesus, that she took her perfume, which was worth a whole lot of what we would say money back then, and she took the perfume and poured it in and washed his feet with it. Now, some of the people said, why did you do that? That's so much money that you could have got the money and taken it for the poor. But she wanted to show Jesus just how much she loved him. So she gave Jesus her most prized possession. So that'd be like Isabel giving her Mickey, or me giving my ring because I wanted to show Jesus how much I loved him. So that's what Pastor Matt's going to be reading about today. But I wanted to tell you why feet washing is so important. I mean, now do we go around washing each other's feet? No. I mean, we only do that if it's like our mom or dad helping us take a bath, right? But feet washing back then was a humble service. And humble means you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about others. So today, yes, I'm crazy. I want you to take off one shoe, if you're willing, and I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to wash one of your feet because you don't have to, but if you're willing, because this is a way that even Jesus did this. At the Last Supper, Jesus said that he wanted, that Jesus wanted his disciples to know that now he wanted to be humble. Of course he was humble, right? He gave his whole life for us. He gave his most prized possession of his life for us. And so he wanted his disciples to know,
Now it's your turn to go out and do service for others. Do you think anybody washed Jesus' feet at the Last Supper? No. He washed their feet. And so I want you to remember that Jesus gave everything for you. This is our perfume. Jesus gave everything for you, and now he wants you to go around and do that for others and tell his good name. All right, I'll start with probably the stinkiest foot in the church.
It's warm.
I know. You don't have to. So before they did the feet washing, a servant would have already washed their feet to get the dirt off. So this was just to show that you're humble. It is warm. And I see another one. Oh, you don't? Okay. It's okay. Okay. So let's end with a prayer. Repeat after me. Dear God, help us to be humble. And to live our lives to serve you. Amen. Thank you, guys, and thank you for those that felt like they wanted to participate. Sorry. No.
First reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
And our mouth is filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. The hills sail among the nations. The Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like water courses in the Negev.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
The second reading is from Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, and as to righteousness under the law blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, These I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Everything about all of our readings today puts us squarely in an in-between reality. Isaiah tells the people in exile in Babylon, "Don't keep basing what you're doing on ancient history. God is about to do a new thing." And the reason Isaiah is prodding them is that the people are stuck in between what God has done for them in the past and the new thing that God is up to. Psalm 126 that we read from a moment ago recalls that when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were back then like those who dream. Back then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. But then the psalm also looks forward to what God will do, restoring our fortunes so that those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy, and those who go out weeping shall come home with shouts of joy. Again, the people are in between, acknowledging what God has done for them, but still expecting God's future action to save them. And Paul in Philippians, well, Paul makes it clear he has all the best credentials in the Hebrew world. But you know what he says it amounts to? He doesn't say rubbish. He said all his credentials amount to a steaming pile of scubala, to use Paul's word, which is a which means exactly what you think it means. All of that accomplishment is not what matters, Paul says. What matters is Christ. So, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. And then, finally, in the Gospel of John, Judas is stuck in an old reality when he scolds Mary over her behavior. That perfume you just poured on Jesus' feet was worth a whole year's wages. We could have used it for something better. But Jesus jumps in to defend Mary by pointing to the future. The perfume was for my burial, he says, and the day is fast approaching when I will not be with you anymore. So in all of these texts, we're sitting right in the tension between what has been and what will be. And all of these scriptures were poised right on the cusp of that transition, sitting the fence between the world we had known and what God is up to. And can we acknowledge for just a moment that these in-between spaces are always uncomfortable? The classic example is teenagers, right? We got some of those around. They aren't adults yet. They're still growing and learning and developing into who they will be. And actually, I've read lately that the brain development actually doesn't finalize until you're closer to 30, right? So they're clearly not there yet, but will be. And they're for sure not children anymore. The teenage years are in-between years, and if I can generalize on my memory of those years, it's not a comfortable time, right? Maybe you all had better experiences than I did. But this discomfort is true for just about anything that we name as in-between times. Being in between jobs, in between relationships, in between clothing sizes even for that matter, is to live in an uncomfortable reality. And that's really where we find ourselves as the people of God, in an in-between uncomfortable place. Certainly that's where we are this week in the narrative arc of John's gospel and of the season of the church. Jesus is still with the disciples, but from this point on, everything that happens moves toward the cross. And next week, when we gather for Palm Sunday, the shouts of Hosanna will so quickly turn to shouts to crucify him. Even apart, though, from the season of the church year and the scriptures we happen to have assigned for today, the whole existence of the church is about this in-between reality. Because the ministry of the church, the work that we have to do, it takes place entirely in the here and now. And that's a here and now that Jesus acknowledges has plenty of poor and suffering to take care of. It's a here and now that includes far too much sowing of tears and going out weeping. It's a here and now that is deeply flawed by the continued presence of the power of sin and death in the world. It's a here and now where we have to muck through all sorts of scubala, Paul's word again, that stinks to high heaven. But we are confident that this will not last. Because even though we're sitting the fence of the uncomfortable in-between now, we already know how the fate of the world is going to go, because it has been decided already. In love, Jesus came to care for the world, and when he was killed for doing it, God did something unexpected. Jesus was raised and promises to bring him with, to bring us with him through death into life. And that, friends, makes not tears, but shouts of joy our reality. Yes, we are people who acknowledge the pain of today, but we're also constantly looking for that new thing that God is doing to spring forth among us. That new thing that looks like water in the desert, laughter on our tongues, a people rejoicing. Over and over again, our gospel lesson today points to the unexpectedness of everything that God gets involved in. Lazarus, right? The dead man is no longer dead and sits at the table eating with them. That's not what you expect to see when you show up for somebody's funeral, right? That's unexpected. The fact that Mary, a woman, would anoint Jesus at all, that's unexpected in itself, even before she lets her hair down and uses it to wipe this absurd amount of perfume onto the last part of the body you'd ever anoint a living person, the feet. But Mary starts with the feet because that's where you start when you're anointing the dead. This is all very unexpected, and it's weird, right? But when God is involved, I guess we have to expect the unexpected. We have to expect to be surprised. And that surprise in this story includes that both Lazarus and Jesus are there, and for neither of them is death the end of the story. The challenge for us is to live as people who lean into this anticipation of the fulfillment of God's kingdom. The challenge for us is to claim this risen Lord and the resurrection Jesus brings us through his death, to acknowledge that the ways of the past cannot have ultimate hold over us. Yes, we're shaped by our past, of course, but to keep ourselves in the discomfort of the in-between that leans into God's future, which for this congregation of the body of Christ means recognizing and giving thanks for the 134 years of faithful ministry that have happened so far in this place at Holly Grove, but also admitting that we can't stay stuck in the past. We have to embrace the often uncomfortable in-between moment we live in, which means we have to keep our eyes open for what God is doing and ask, to what new thing is God calling Holly Grove Lutheran Church? To what new thing is God calling me and you? Where do we need to die so that we might be raised to new life in Christ? And all of these are worthy questions, and we ask them for the sake of getting us to this one. Having been baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus, how will we spread the fragrance of God's love in this world? Amen.
Let's confess what we believe with the use of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic
Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all creation. God of resurrection and new life, inspire your church to reconsider what makes us holy. When we focus on our own piety or others' sin, show us instead Christ's faithfulness. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, wherever destruction by flood, famine, or fire has devastated land and lives, cause green shoots to spring up, a new thing, giving hope and vision for your promised future. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, where nations are embroiled in chaos and unrest, cut a clear path for your people to follow. Lead us in ways of reconciliation and foretell the new things you prepare. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Wipe away the tears, Lord, of those who weep under the burdens of hard labor, illness, or despair. Especially we pray for Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Lydia, Sheila, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Sharon, Barbara, and all those we name now. Restore them, Lord, and bring them into the joy of your presence. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Permeate this world, Lord, with the sweet perfume of Christ's anointing. Fill your people with such gratitude that it spills over into service of those who are poor or in any need. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, accompany those for whom death draws near. Bring us with all your saints to receive the abundance of heavenly glory through the covenant Christ sealed in his death and resurrection. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Lord, reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace. County. Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
We stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5 of the bulletin. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.